Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What is going on, fellow Colliders? Welcome in. It is 10-12 on Saturday, September 21st, the official last day of summer. We made it. Fall is tomorrow. Pumpkin spice everything. Get ready. Raring to go. Halloween is almost here. It is my time of the year. Football's in full swing. Yes, this is the best time of the year, even though it's still 100 degrees in Cincinnati right now, because seasons are made up and nothing matters in the state of Ohio. Rick Uccino, Iridian Fierro with you here tonight. Iridian, it's been like 10 months since I've seen you. What's going on?
I know, it's literally been forever. I'm so excited that we're finally back and talking about wrestling together. I'm super excited. I'm glad that we're on the same page about weather, because I need a jacket. I need a jacket. I need a hoodie. I'm so tired of going outside and sweating. This is not for me. I live in Chicago. I'm honestly ready for the snow. Like, bring it on. I'm a cold kind of girl. I guess I've gotten used to the colds. Like, it is what it is.
No, I ain't about the cold. Like, winter sucks. But just stick with fall. So fall all day, 70 degrees, you know, nice breeze, go out and play some golf with the dead leaves on the ground. I'm a happy man. Come home, watch a football game. I'm a good dude. I do have beef with you though, Iridian, that I have to get off of my chest, because just a week ago, we were in the same city, same time, same arena, and I told you, do not let me leave here without seeing you. And what happened, Iridian?
I do remember that. And the service in there is so terrible. Oh, I don't know if you experienced in the arena. It is so bad. Also, the Now Arena is in the middle of nowhere. So it's just a feat all in itself. So I was trying to find, also the sections aren't labeled. So I know you sent me your section and I was like, okay, I would be grateful if there were numbers on the sections. And I was like, we're literally, I think you said you might have been like in the 100s. I was also in the 100s. So I was like, but I'm pretty sure we were like across from each other. And I was like, let me see if I can at least spot the media people. So I was like looking through the people. I'm like, I need to see someone that I recognize. Didn't see you. And I was like, well, we're gonna have to wait for WrestleMania or something at this point.
Yeah. I also got to take some blame, because I think I sent you the wrong section. So even if you had found it,
I would have been like, I'm here. Where are you?
And
you
was directly behind like the hard camera. Like I was like okay. front row on the floor. They always put the media behind the TV crew. So we had the crane camera that would come in and block our view every now and again. But still, hell of a show, hell of an atmosphere. I was very happy to be there. Very happy I drove 5.5 hours to listen to Tony Khan talk for 6 minutes in the shortest media scrum of all time. That was great. It was a good trip.
I heard about that. honestly, it was easy to leave the show that night. I don't know how getting out was for you, but parking wasn't too bad, and it was kind of easy to leave the arena. So that was a plus for me.
Oh well, see, here's the thing. Even with the fact that it was the shortest press scrum of all time, the parking lot was still empty by the time I got out there because we sat through, because they did the whole post show. With Evil Uno and Matt Menard and all the boys up there on the desk. And then Tony Khan came out and talked to us for about 10 minutes. And then they told us that was it for the night. And we were all like, oh, that's new. Even after that, we were all ready there to be there for an hour and a half, 2 hours like usual. But hey, NFL calls. It was a rough night. Totally understand that. I felt bad for Denise, who had flown in from L.A. to be there for that, right? I drove 4 hours, whatever, that's fine. But there were some people I genuinely felt bad for as far as who made the trip for that, but still treated to a hell of a show, and it was a good night. I'm sorry I missed you. Hopefully you're gonna be in Vegas for WrestleMania.
In Vegas we are. See you at the casino.
Mm-hmm. There we go. All right, are you ready to talk about AEW Collision?
Should we talk about the
show that we
I mean, we don't have these little logos around us for nothing.
Yes. All right. So for those of you who are in the chat, thank you so much for joining us. As always, get your comments in, get your super chats in, get your humper chats in, like Just Ricardo here saying, hello, my colliders and lovely hosts. Thank you so much, Just Ricardo, for chiming in. As always, that is the guaranteed way to get your comment read on the air. Our moderator, Luis, will make sure that I read every single one of them throughout the entirety of the show tonight before we get out. So we opened up with absolute chaos here, Iridian. It was the Sons of Texas versus the Undisputed Kingdom for the Ring of Honor tag team titles.
Yeah.
A bunkhouse brawl. And my Jesus. All right. So let me just run down the notes that I took on this one. So we get Mike Bennett, who gets busted up within the first 3 minutes of this match with Dusty Rhodes' belt buckle. Taven gets bulldogged off of the stage through tables and barbed wire. Bennett then takes a cutter from Sammy Guevara through a table. Guevara gets shoved off the top of a ladder through two tables that were down on the floor. Dustin takes a Death Valley driver through two chairs. Matt Taven then took a nasty bump himself through some chairs. Bennett gets a barbed wire boot to the balls in this one. And then Sammy ends up hitting a top ladder swanton on Matt Bennett for the win.
That's so crazy because we don't even have the same things written down. There was so many moments in this match that there was enough for us to completely have different things written down. So I wrote mine in cute little bullet points, like tasers, kendo sticks, cowbells. Oh my. there was
Dustin genuine- was going crazy with that cowbell in this one.
Yeah, there was so much going on. The fact that Sammy was pushed off the ladder that was inside of the ring onto those tables. I knew there was going to be crazy spots, but I was I played myself going into this thinking that it was not going to be complete chaos, because knowing Sammy Guevara, it was absolutely going to be complete chaos. And Mike Bennett was bleeding from the top of his skull. It looked crazy. But I appreciated the outfits that Dustin and Sammy had on, because nothing really says I'm going to fight you like jeans and a white t-shirt and some knee pads. I think that's the look for a hardcore fight. But
you know why they do that, right?
So you can see the blood, of course, but you gotta be cash.
Well, that and wrestling gear is incredibly expensive, so nobody wants to destroy their gear,
of course. So you wrestle
with barbed wire and all the other bullshit, so that's why most people just wear street clothes for these things.
Craziness. But what a great first match, great way to open up the night. It was a hard match to top.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. I think the night peaked, honestly, as far as in-ring action, That's no disrespect to anybody else who was on the show tonight. This was just balls to the walls.
Yeah, this was a fantastic match. It was just, maybe this should have been the main event. I think it would have been fantastic. Maybe they should have opened up with Nigel and Brian, because honestly, I thought that Brian was coming out the way that they were working it. I was like, oh, he's going to be here. And he wasn't. I mean, I know we'll talk about that later, but if we would have just reversed that order, I think the flow would have been a little bit better tonight.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The one thing about this match, though, that made me absolutely laugh, right? And you alluded to it. You had Mike and Matt and Dustin, who all look like they just survived Texas Chainsaw Massacre at the end of this. And then you had Sammy, who was spotless. Like, Sammy looked like he just, like, got out of the shower and was ready to come out. I'm like, how did you, like, the first bit of blood that he got on him was when Dustin hugged him at the end of the match and he had, like, a little spot on the back of his head. Like, I know that dude went through two tables and jumped off the top of a ladder. How did he come out looking so fresh at the end of it? Like, not a hair out of place.
He was the hardcore guy in this match, and he was spotless. I mean, props to him for being able victory. To do that. I mean,
that's what that was.
Yeah.
Dude had everything on point tonight in this one.
Yeah, it was great. I think that them retaining the titles was a good move. But, you know, now Sammy was like, hey, I want two belts too, which I was like, wait a minute. We can't just start stacking everybody with as many championship belts as they want.
Why
we
got
some control here. I'm going to be the control of the night, but I mean, sure, why not? Okada, I think that'll be good.
Yeah, that'll be fine. So here's the thing, right? So I'm sitting here and I'm looking, I'm like, damn, that Grand Slam card is stacked. There are already seven matches that have been announced, and this would be the eighth. Now, I'm assuming some of them are going to be on Grand Slam Collision, right? So this is getting to be like WrestleMania Backlash kind of levels here. Right. Because they're not letting us know which one. So I would not be stunned if the Jeff Jarrett Hangman Adam Page match is on the Grand Slam Collision, or, you know, the Sammy Guevara Okada match ends up being on Grand Slam Collision. It's going to be interesting. Maybe the Saraya Jamie Hayter match ends up on Grand Slam Collision. But Tony Khan is absolutely stacking this card, and we'll go through some of the matches tonight. But it's going to be interesting to see where things fall, because eight matches on a 2-hour show, that would be a lot. The show would feel rushed. I'd like, with some of these matches, I'd really like them to kind of breathe on Wednesday night.
It's interesting that you said they might split them up between two nights, but they also have Rampage. So they could also, it could be Grand Slam Rampage. Who knows?
We're just going to get a whole pay-per-view. We're just going to get, you know, Tony Khan's just going to book three pay-per-views inside of 6 weeks, because he's a sicko.
He can do that.
That's exactly what's going to happen. And then after this, by the way, after we get through Grand Slam week, we get the 5th year anniversary of Dynamite coming up on October 2nd. And we get the announcement that Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, is going to be coming back. Makes a ton of sense, because it's in Pittsburgh. And look, I know Britt Baker is a polarizing figure. She's either lover or you hate her. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are going to give her crap. I do not think that her match with Mercedes was nearly as bad as many people were saying it was. I just think they were in a really tough spot following Ospreay at All In. They were just in a really, really tough spot. And I thought that match was okay. I don't think it was bad necessarily. And they definitely got the crowd into it at the end. But we have not seen Britt Baker since that matchup. And it's going to be interesting to see if she gets on the mic, what she has to say following her match to Mercedes. And as we found out later tonight, she's probably going to be facing Serena Deeb on the show. So I think that's going to be a pretty good matchup.
I'm excited. I love Britt Baker. I am there for her. She's one of my faves. Like, to me, iconic. Okay. She's one of my favorite women's wrestlers. And yeah, people talk about that Mercedes and Britt match. Honestly, they might have been off, you know, both nights. I feel like Mercedes had hiccups, Britt had hiccups, and they might just not be compatible in the ring. It happens. Sometimes people have great matches against other people, and then those two great wrestlers fight each other and it doesn't work. And that's okay. You know, now we know. And you got to move on from that. So it is what it is. I'm excited to see Britt back in the ring. So
And it doesn't mean that they can't have a good match or a great match later on. Yeah. Case in point, right? Case in point, two of the all-time greats, Becky Lynch and Trish Stratus. Mm-hmm. Their first few matches together did not click. They just did not click whatsoever. And I am the biggest Becky Lynch homer on the planet. And even I am sitting here saying these two are not good dance partners. Mm-hmm. And then they went out in Pittsburgh, by the way, some symmetry there, and put on one of the greatest cage matches I've ever seen in my life. So sometimes it just clicks, sometimes it doesn't. We'll see what happens, but I'm looking forward to seeing Britt Baker back on TV because I'm with you on that. I'm a Britt Baker guy. I always have been, and I probably always will be. We had Darby Allin and Evil Uno backstage tonight. I loved this promo. Mm-hmm. Iridian. I thought this was absolute fire. This might be my favorite thing that Darby Allin has ever done on a microphone.
Really?
Period. End of story. He gets up in Evil Uno's face and he's basically just tough talks the guy, right? Like he gets something. It's like, dude, do you see what is happening here? A literal war is coming. Mm-hmm. John Moxley and the Blackpool Combat Club want to take over this entire company. They want to eliminate the egos and the jokes and everybody that they deem not worthy to be in AEW. They want to completely take them out and you can lay down and die, but I'm not going to. And he said, we're not going to have a match tonight. We are going to have a fight. He wanted to basically lay down a challenge to see if Evil Uno still had that dog in him. Iridian. Yeah. Does he still have that dog in him? Because they said the Dark Order has been coasting for too long. They have been collecting a paycheck. Mm. He's like, you guys can either lay down and die, go keep playing your video games, or you can come out here and you can show me something tonight in this ring. I love this from Darby Allin tonight.
Yeah, you know what? Darby is really good on the mic. And I feel like people forget about that because most of the time he just goes out and wrestles and he does crazy things. And people, like, that's all that they remember is like, Darby will go in there and do something crazy, but he's great on the mic. So the fact that he went up to Evil Uno and was like, stop making all these videos, stop worrying about these videos backstage and all these little segments that you're doing, which he was talking about BTE, which is no longer BTE. It's now, I don't know what it is on YouTube. Someone tell me in the comments what it is, but now it's the Dark Order's channel. So the fact that he's like, you need to stop eating catering, like, open your eyes. There's literal war, just like you said. And I was like, oh my God, I honestly thought Darby was going to start recruiting people. Like, I was like, somebody needs to.
I need to.
Combat Club. Yes. Like, what are we doing? But Darby was like ready for a fight, which I'm glad because I feel like the Dark Order has really gotten the short end of the stick. And I know you also love the Dark Order. And I'm just like, come on, guys, we need to do something with them because they are a great team. The tag team division is being elevated, but they're trios. Like they can work. They're mm-hmm. exciting. And they just haven't been pushed the way that we think that they should have. But man, what a great match that they put on tonight.
A lot of people in the chat talking about what if Darby did start to build a faction. And look, I think that's kind of the thing, right? Is, you know, there was this war that was kind of brooding between the elite, the EVPs and AEW. And now it kind of seems like there's this third team here that's kind of emerged and you might have to see that team AEW, those guys who were together in the battles with the EVPs. I'm talking guys like, you know, Swerve Strickland, when he comes back, maybe he still is on team AEW, especially if Jon Moxley does to Bryan Danielson what he says he's going to do to Bryan Danielson and to Darby Allin. You know, two guys who were from Swerve's neck of the woods. So it's going to be interesting to see who joins that fight with Darby Allin. I am looking forward to this matchup on Wednesday, because I do feel like this is Wednesday is going to kind of be the Empire Strikes Back moment, I think, for Darby here, because I think what Darby said tonight is true. I think he is going to carry AEW forward as world champion.
Yeah.
But I think what he said was wrong was when he said he's going to be the next world champion. He is not going to be the next world champion. Jon Moxley is going to be. Jon Moxley is going to beat Darby Allin on Wednesday, and then he will take the title from Brian. And then Darby, whenever John's reign ends, Darby will be the one to take it off of John. I am convinced of that. Like, I see the GPS coordinates have been put in place. That's what makes sense to me, Iridian. Do you think there is any chance that Darby emerges victorious on Wednesday, because I don't see it.
Well, not when you put it like that. I had hope before you started talking, Rick. Like, I was like, you know what? Maybe there's a chance.
Me and Dustin Rhodes, you know, just putting barbed wire under boots and kicking people in the balls. You know, that's just what we do.
Way to ruin the mood. Now, I guess, no. I mean, I had a little bit of hope. But, yeah, I mean, what you're saying does seem like a little bit more realistic. So that's probably what's going to happen. But I'm just interested in, you know, because I'm obsessed with the Blackpool Combat Club. I don't know what they're called now. I don't know what they're doing. But whatever their new name is, whatever they're trying to do, I'm still confused. I need to know what the message is, what the branding is. Today, they showed a graphic with Moxley and Marina Shafir in the back, and she had like crazy dark eyeliner. And I was like, yeah, what is going on?
Looks like she should have been wearing a Batman mask.
It was insane. But if there's a reason behind it, then I'm all for it. I'm just a little confused.
Can we just say how awesome Marina Shafir has been in this role, by the way? Can we just give her flowers for just fitting in with this group flawlessly since she came back with Mox?
I am like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. She's still got to convince me a little bit. Just because she hasn't been on full display in AEW. I know she was managed by Vicky Guerrero for a little bit. That's the last pieces I remember of Marina Shafir. And that was a long time ago. So I need to see her start fighting people. And the first person I want to see her go against is Serena Deeb. So that's just me. I just need to see her fight. And then once I see her fight, then I'll make my decision.
There you go. I do have to ask you.
Yeah.
Watching your boy Wheeler in person. As they're attempting to murder Bryan Danielson, and Pac is just holding him back as he screams. Like, did you just want to rush the ring and give him a hug? Or, you know, what was going on?
You know what's crazy? My heart was beating so fast. While that was happening, Brian was, this is at the moment he had the bag on his head. And of course, you know, like, as a wrestling fan, like, you know, right? But at the same time, you're just like, oh no, what's happening? Like, my favorite group is breaking up right now. Yuta had his hand. He was reaching for Brian. Like, Pac was holding him back. And my heart was like, oh my God, beating so, so fast. I was so nervous. My blood pressure was probably so high. And I was like, I can't believe that just happened. I was truly devastated. But Utes, I'm here for you. I don't know if you need more members to whatever crew you're starting, but I'm here. If you need a manager, I'm here. I could be like a better version of Mark Sterling. Love Mark Sterling, but I feel like I could do it a little better. Just saying.
I was more heartbroken when Claudio was the one who hit the uppercut, honestly. Like, I am president of the Claudio Castagnoli fan club. And like, you could feel the tension, right? Yeah. You could feel something was coming. I didn't know what it was. I was expecting Moxley to make the move, right? Yeah. And then when Claudio was the one who fired the first shot, I'm just like, that's what broke my heart. And then Wheeler just kind of put it over the top.
It's devastating. And, you know, I'm also a little offended because they didn't even beat up Yuta. Like, he wasn't even worth it to them.
Didn't even clue him in.
How rude, disrespectful. But I'm hoping that this now puts Yuta in a better position to start heading towards bigger things. Because if we remember, like, I don't know if it was like a year or 2 years ago, he was having matches against MJF for that belt. Like, he and Danny Garcia, like, these guys were getting pushed. And next thing you know, they kind of just got lost in the shuffle. And I'm hoping that this gives him a little bit more momentum into something else. Like, I don't know, give me him versus Takeshita. He needs to start having, like, those build-up matches. I don't know what his plans are with Brian, but maybe they make another Blackpool Combat Club. They got to name it something else, though.
Thank you, by the way, Dono, for... I was very confused by the super chat that you sent in. I won't throw it up, but I'm just sitting here. I'm like, how do I bring this up? How do I read this without sounding like a total idiot? Thank you for informing us that you sent it to the wrong place. I was extraordinarily confused and was dreading reading that. So thank you for sending that in. I really appreciate that. We had 6-man tag team action. Kyle O'Reilly, Mark Briscoe, and Hologram against the Premier Athletes tonight. Rocky Romero brought in. being provided as the backup, the equalizer for the Shenanigator, Smart Mark Sterling. And he did his job in this one, distracting Sterling just long enough for Hologram to take him out with a dive to the outside. That allowed Mark Briscoe to spike Josh Woods and pick up the win. This was a fun little match. And yeah, look, another night, another Saturday night, and another night the Premier Athletes take an L. Just holding that big L.
It's so funny because Mark Sterling did the same thing, I think, last week or the week before. But he was like, all right, guys, this is what you're going to say after we say it. And the first time I think they said it, everyone, the audience said sucks or athletes suck or something like that. And then they did it again tonight. Honestly, that is my new favorite bit. I think that's hilarious. I giggle and I'm like, that's for me. That's definitely for me. So it makes me laugh. You know, Mark Sterling, you're moving on up in the list of managers in AEW. I don't know about the Premier Athletes where they're moving up in tag teams because I feel like they're not. But maybe if they start picking up some wins, then they will. But the way that these new tag teams have started to come on Collision and really make an impact, like definitely the Grizzled Young Vets, they're doing fantastic. The Outrunners, who I absolutely love, are killing it.
And I'm taking a complete 180 on those guys. Like they're getting over and people are into it. And I'm just like, I didn't see it at first. And that's my bad. You know, that's I'll admit when I'm wrong.
It's okay. I'll admit when I'm wrong. Hop on the bandwagon. We are friendly here. And then MXM, like these are great tags.
I love those guys so much.
And I'm like, all right, great. But then here comes Mark Sterling with the Premier Athletes. And I'm like, all right, guys, we got to start doing something with you because you're going to get lost in the sauce. There's only so much that a good manager can do. I need them to start picking up some wins if they're going to start running things in the division because they have the look. I'm confused.
So I see people talking about Hologram in the chat. He moves to 10-0 tonight, right?
Shout out to him.
So he's spectacular, right?
Yeah.
At what point do we want to see Hologram take the next step in some kind of presentation of a character or promo or really a story? Because they are really kind of slow playing it with him at this point. He's still wowing crowds and he's spectacular in what he's doing and he's teaming up with good guys. So obviously we know he's a baby face, but at what point do we want to see them take the next step with him other than just being, it's Hologram, he's here and he's going to do some cool shit?
That's an interesting question. I don't know. I feel like with Hologram, the first time they introduced him, I actually thought it was going to be like Sammy Guevara because, you know, they were saying like, oh, somebody's going to be here. I don't know who. But the way that he's been winning, like he's so entertaining. He's so exciting to see. And now with rumors or confirmations of the Lucha Brothers leaving, you still need people in there to do Lucha style, which you kind of have in Beast Mortos. Now you have in Hologram and still Rush and, you know, Señor Rush. He needs to start being placed somewhere. I feel like they're kind of throwing him in with the conglomeration and then still also having him do little side quests. But I guess he's going to be lost in the sauce. Like same thing with Yuta. Like if he's picking up all these wins, then he should be high on a list for some title like that comment said. So.
Right. TNT championship against Jack Perry. I would be on board with that. Now, let's just say in 2 weeks, Ricochet wins the international championship from Will Ospreay. You could do Hologram and Ricochet down the line. And I think the sickos would lose their collective shit in that match. I mean, you just want to, like that doesn't even need to have a title on the line, to be honest with you. That could be an eliminator match because, like, seriously, Ospreay or Ricochet, whoever wins that matchup against Hologram, that's just like, the people who love that style, that's their dream, honestly. So put that at Wrestle Dream. I mean, seriously.
Like Hologram, Ricochet, Will Ospreay, and Sammy Guevara in like a fatal four-way, like a ladder match, like that would be crazy. Just like people who can move the way, like in similar ways, I think they're always going to put on great matches. It's interesting because he's not really in like any crazy storyline besides like with the conglomeration every now and then. So I wouldn't know unless like Señor Rush goes up to him and starts beef or who else could possibly start beef with him. I don't know.
Brandon saying at this point, Hologram's first loss would be to Mortos. Their story though, even though neither one of them talk. Look, Beast Mortos is awesome, and he is playing his role to perfection. He's another guy that I'd like to see be utilized a little bit more. You know, we've gotten the appetizer with him. So he's another one of these guys that I'd like to see step up to be, see what the next step in his evolution in AEW is. People asking about Scorpio Sky. I have no idea. I don't know what is going on with Scorpio Sky. He is on a list of people that I am just scratching my head of why they're not on television right now. And there's always a reason, right? Whether it's a good one, whether it's a bad one, whether it's a medical thing, whether there's always a reason for it, but we're just not privy to that information because we watch the product and we're not there on a regular basis. We had Mariah May versus Lady Frost tonight. This one disappointed me, Iridian, because it was bad, because it was over before I started writing some notes and then the match ended. And I'm just like, what the fudge? Like, I wanted more. Wanted more. I think they did Lady Frost dirty tonight.
They really did. And what are we doing with her? I don't watch Ring of Honor, so I'm not sure if she is on Ring of Honor. You guys can let me know in the comments. But when Lady Frost first started popping up on Collision, I'm like, oh my God, this is so great. We're going to get to see her do so many incredible things. Same thing like with Taya. When Taya Valkyrie first came up, I was like, this is amazing. We're going to get to see just so many things. And then nothing. And a match like tonight with Mariah May did absolutely nothing for Lady Frost. It didn't even make Mariah look better. It just gave her another win in the ranking system, if that's still happening. The only thing I truly remember is when Mariah, and it wasn't even the wrestling, is when Mariah got on the ropes and she blew a kiss at Nigel. And Nigel was like, oh my God.
Yeah, melting.
He was like fallen over his chair on commentary. And it was genuinely, it started at like 7:40 my time and also ended at 7:45. And I think there was also like a picture in picture, which I was like, that's disrespectful.
I mean, yeah, like the only thing I wrote down, oh, cool, there was a German suplex where Lady Frost got dropped on her head, and then she did it.
Yep.
Yeah, Storm Zero, and yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was it. I'm telling you, that was it. It absolutely did nothing for both of those women. Honestly, a promo would have been better, because where like that built nothing towards storylines, nothing. Oh. And it didn't make either of them look good. They didn't look bad, but I'm just like, we should have gotten a longer women's match. And I was talking to you before, you know, we started streaming, that if we would have gotten rid of some of the promos, maybe that match could have been longer.
Did we need a, because immediately after this match, they put a video package, you know, hyping up Mariah May versus Yuka Sakazaki on Wednesday. Like, did we need that hype package? Did we have to run that? What was that? An extra, I mean, it wasn't an extraordinarily long package. It was like an extra 60 seconds, but still a little bit, an extra minute to the action, you know, but we did go from that to Willow Nightingale backstage. So that made me smile. Nice to see Willow for the first time since All Out. That match was absolutely insane. Although, if there was going to be a match where the video board malfunctioned and we couldn't see anything that was going on, it would have to be that match that left the freaking ring. All right. Like, I missed most of it from my seat.
I'm sure from where you were sitting, I was sitting on the complete opposite side of you. So I was where Chris Statlander and ran through Willow onto the tables. I was right in front of that, so that's where my sight was. So I could
I just heard a bang. I didn't even see it. I heard it. I didn't see it.
It was effective. It was effective. It worked. It was a fantastic match. When Deonna popped up on there, I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah,
this is what I want. Deonna and Willow beef. I am here for it.
Not only that, but like, so there were the reports or the conversations that were being had out this week. I know Sean had some of that up on Fightful Select, just $5. Best $5 you're going to spend as a wrestling fan. You get all of Sean's reports and all of Sean's scoops. He had one out that came out today about the Lucha Bros and where they stand as far as AEW and WWE is concerned. So make sure, if you haven't subscribed already, do it now. You get Sean's reports straight to you. Not having to read it through an aggregator and hope that they have interpreted Sean's reports correctly. Although I'd like to think I interpret Sean's reports correctly and transcribe them as so on Sports Illustrated. So, yeah, you could read Sports Illustrated as well. But subscribe to Fightful Select and get it before I have time to rewrite it. Anywho, so But there were talks about Deanna building at least a team or a faction of some kind. And she interrupts Willow because, you know, Willow is throwing her support behind Yuka ahead of her title match on Wednesday. And then Deanna gets up in her face and she's like, well, if you were really her friend, you'd be out there in her corner. And Deanna's talking about, I'm offering protection for you for Grand Slam. And before Willow could like even kind of cut her off, Taya swoops in and gets in her face. So Deanna and Taya, definitely a thing now. Maybe they could be recruiting Yuka or some other people involved. You could sign me up for a badass faction, but just the tag team of doing something of substance with Taya, which they really haven't done yet since she joined the company, sign me the hell up for that.
Yeah,
immediately.
No, it looked so cool to have Taya with Deanna, and the fact that Deanna and Taya are also so good on the mic, I was like, yes, this is gonna be so good. I initially thought they were like gonna go and try to recruit Willow, but it doesn't seem like that. It seems like they're going after Willow's friends. So I'm like, this is very interesting. And I don't think that Yuka's going to take, you know, she's gonna take the bait. So it's just gonna be interesting to see where this goes. And I feel like Willow is going to have to find someone to go against this new group. I honestly hope it's like 4 or 5 women. I'm ready for it.
They got the numbers.
Yes.
The roster is deep right now. But yeah, Willow and Taya are going to, they're going to kick each other's asses, or at least that's the goal. They're going to fight on Grand Slam Rampage next week. They will be on Grand Slam Rampage. So we get Darby Allin and Evil Uno. We talked about their promo exchange backstage. So this was the fight. It ended up kind of being a 2-on-1 brawl with Alex Reynolds getting involved, because not only did Darby Allin light a fire under Evil Uno, but he did it under Alex Reynolds as well. I have my notes on this, but I want to get your thoughts on this first, Iridian.
Yeah.
Answer the question. Did Evil Uno prove that he had that dog left in him?
Oh, absolutely he did. He went in there and I was like so impressed. Mind you, I love seeing the Dark Order, anyone from the Dark Order in the ring. So the fact that I'm just like, yes, we get to see it, because I know how good they are. And they just had never had the opportunity to really show them. And I feel like they're underappreciated. Anyway, 10 out of 10 for this one. If there was one match that was going to, I feel like, be my second favorite, second favorite of the night, besides that opening match on Collision, it was this one, because Evil Uno had Darby Allin like laid out in front of the steel steps outside, and he did like that, I don't know what it's called, but it's like a little somersault into, like, roll into Darby, and then you just saw Darby's body just crash into those steps. It's so crazy, but I love it. He did it twice. It was such a good match.
Turn the microphone on. Anyway, so I loved the shoulder tackle that he gave him, that he sent flying like 10 yards into the barricade. Yeah. When Darby wants to sell, man, he can sell it, because he's not calling him small.
He's lightweight.
But yeah, he can fly when he wants to, right? And he bumped his ass off for Evil Uno in this one. So he helped him prove that he indeed did have that dog in him. Yeah. But honestly, it was really Darby that I was watching in this match. Because this was all strategic, and I loved the story of this, because Darby Allin did everything in this match tonight in Evil Uno that he's going to have to do against Jon Moxley on Wednesday.
Yeah.
He was fighting dirty. He was biting. He was scratching. He was clawing. He was digging at the eyes. He had to deal with the numbers game, right? Because you know the BCC is going to be out there. So he was, pick the fight with both Evil Uno and Alex Reynolds. So he was doing a 2-on-1 brawl and going to lengths, putting Evil Uno in the bulldog choke, right? Like just taking, you know, going to the nth degree that maybe he wouldn't have to against Evil Uno, but kind of testing himself and giving himself a tune-up match in the style that he's going to have to wrestle to beat Jon Moxley on Wednesday. He's not going to beat Jon Moxley on Wednesday, but I love the story that they told him, as he had to find, he was booked in this match with Evil Uno. He found a way to wrestle in a style and get a tune-up match for what he's going to be facing on Wednesday. I thought that was really, really good storytelling.
You know what? I didn't even realize that. And I'm glad that you brought it up, that it's very similar like situations. Like he was fighting dirty, you know, the mask trying to be ripped off. He was biting him in between the rips of the
mask. He was being an asshole. He was wrestling heel in this match.
Yes, which was intense. And, you know, Alex Reynolds being in the on the outside and him also trying to, you know, getting involved in a little bit. That's also what the BCC is going to do. So that makes sense. This is a nice little prep match for John Moxley, which that's going to be so bloody. It's going to be so crazy. There's going to be bodies literally everywhere. And there's only two of them.
So here's a question. What's your main event on Wednesday? Ooh. Do you do Brian and Nigel? Do you do Mox and Darby?
I don't know. I don't know. That's, I mean, maybe I feel like you would open up with Nigel and Brian. But then also, you don't just, like, we haven't seen Nigel in the ring with an opponent, just one, in such a long time that I don't think that Tony wouldn't give them that main event spot. There's so many options. I don't know. Truly, truly don't know. Guys, what do you think? Let us know in the comments.
Hit us up in the comments. Make sure to get those super chats in, guys. Get those humper chats in. Those are the guaranteed ways to get your comments read on the air before we close out tonight's proceedings. I'm an idiot, by the way. I skipped over one segment that we need to get to after this brief message.
BetOnline.ag is the official betting partner of Fightful. 100% of the time when you get the odds from Fightful, they are coming from BetOnline.ag. And it's not just wrestling. It's not just MMA and boxing. It's football, it's basketball, baseball, hockey. They have the earliest lines. You can bet big with the high limits and rebet functionality. They have the fastest payouts with winnings paid in minutes and the industry's best bonuses on every qualifying deposit. They've been trusted for 25 plus years. It's not some fly-by-night company. BetOnline AG has been there. They've done that. In addition, they're trusted by millions. They've got VIP rewards programs and a ton of popular games. BetOnline.ag, that's where I go to make my bets. That's where I suggest you go to, my friends. Please just bet what you can and bet responsibly.
I am having a really hard time with remembering to turn my microphone on tonight. Usually I don't turn it off, but I've been having some issues coughing all of a sudden because, hey, why?
Gone too long, Rick.
Why the hell not?
You've been gone too long.
That's what it is. I'm out of practice. That's what it is. How dare I? How dare I skip over the MXM collection tonight?
When you said that we forgot to talk about something, I'm like, wait a minute. I think it's that one. Yes. Let's talk about it.
They have promised next week. They're going to close out New York Fashion Week with a bang. They are going to unveil Max Caster's redone jacket as promised, but they would not give us a teaser tonight because how dare they be premature, Iridian? How dare they just unload this this gorgeous jacket too soon? We gotta wait. We gotta hype it up. These two guys, I could sit here and I could write down every single innuendo that they threw out there tonight, but why? Because I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to soak them in and I'm going to enjoy them because their delivery, their presence, the confidence that they have in these characters. And I know I've said this once. I think I've said it 10,000 times, multiple times on this show. The fact that these guys have been able to take a dead on arrival Vince McMahon death sentence and turn it into the success that they are having now with these characters and just saying, F you, not only did you get us wrong, but we're going to prove that we can make your shitty characters successful and make them good characters and make this work. When they didn't have to do that, I highly commend them for it because they are highly entertaining. I want more of them on my television. I want them on Dynamite. I want them on Collision. I want them on Rampage. The fact that they were signed to Ring of Honor contracts and now they are pretty much have already graduated to AEW television, I think tells you everything you need to know about where Tony Khan thinks these guys could go as well.
And this is such a perfect team. Like, these guys are tag team champ material. Like,
100%.
Everything that they said, I was cracking up internally because I feel like the Acclaimed has kind of run its course with, like, we get it. They're going to go in there. They're going to scissor. They're going to, like, wiggle their tongues, and that's it. I feel like it's just run its course. But now we're getting that, but also in, like, a more refined version, or, like, I don't know how to explain. It's, like, a little bit classier, right? You get it, and you're just like, oh, that's so funny. Because if you were someone who wasn't thinking about all those, like, double meanings, you would have just been like, oh, wow, they're so classy. This is crazy. But then after that whole promo, I was like, that was so dirty. Like,
yeah, no, it's extremely dirty. Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about that during the promo. I was like, oh, my God, class. Yes, love it. Love to see it. And then afterwards, I was like, wait a minute. I am fooled.
Now, I immediately went to the gutter. I immediately went to the gutter and was laughing with every single thing that they said, where he almost, like, zipped up his finger in the jacket. He's like, oh, my tip.
It's so crazy, but I'm like, oh, this is what the Acclaimed needed. If they were going to fight somebody, and because they can vibe off of each other and, like, their thoughts. But this was so good. Probably my favorite promo of the night. I love seeing these guys. And like I said, this new division of tag teams is incredible. You have them. You have the Outrunners. You have the Grizzled Young Vets. I feel like tag teams, the new tag team reigns is probably going to be Grizzled Young Vets. Then you're going to get probably MXM and then the Outrunners. I don't know in that specific order, the bottom two.
Yeah, for sure.
Interchange them, but they're definitely all tag team championship material. So
yeah, it's nice to see an infusion of new, right? Yeah. Like the division needed a spark. Like, you have teams that are great, but when it's just been the three teams that have been in the forefront for so long, you needed something. You needed a quick change of pace. You needed a palate cleanser, really. Yeah. And that's what these guys are palate cleansers. And I'm sure the MXM collection could take palate cleanser and do something with it as well. Then we go complete 180 as far as promos are concerned. We go from MXM and the double innuendos and the jokes and the sexiness and all of that stuff to Jeff Jarrett backstage, pissed off, just ignoring Renee and his wife and just railing into Hangman Adam Page and challenging this man to a lumberjack strap match at Grand Slam. And he is vowing to whoop Hangman Page's ass and rip the flesh off his body, Aridian. This is good old Jeff Jarrett. This is the last outlaw here. This is he was all business tonight, that's for sure.
Oh, absolutely. He was ready to fight everybody. He was just ready for him to be the front and center of that camera. He was not listening to Karen, who looked, she was stressed out. Poor Karen. Yeah, it was just all about him. I'm not, like, a super fan of a strap match. I think that after Ricky and Brian, I feel like that could have been it. Even Punk and MJF, like, maybe that would have been it. But if you want to keep doing it, wonderful. I love a lumberjack match, though. Give me more of those, because growing up, I love seeing the women in lumberjill matches, because that's the only way that you could see, like, oh, the women on TV. Because you're like, oh, yeah, great. Because you're not going to give them matches. At least they'll all be out there at one time. So it's just a little fun element. I think it's going to be great. Interesting to see. You know, I know Jeff mentioned some people who could be out there, but I wonder who they're really going to put out there to see what size people are going to pick. Because I feel like everyone might be against Hangman, which that's pretty sad. I love Hangman.
Nobody loves Hangman right now.
Oh.
In the AEW locker room. AEW locker room.
Yeah.
But we, the fans, love him because what his work has been, exemplary. But I will say this much. I did not have Jeff Jarrett coming into AEW and playing this prominent of a role and actually, you know, like, being successful at it on my bingo card. Like, I did not expect him to come in and kind of be able to, and maybe that's just my fault for underestimating Jeff Jarrett or underestimating the storylines that they were going to be, you know, putting him in. But ever since the Owen Hart Foundational Tournament they have found something with him, and it is working. And like him coming in and just being a talent, you know, he, whatever he's doing backstage, whatever he's doing to mentor other people, all of that is great, but they have found money in Jeff Jarrett as a talent again. And that is something that I did not have on my AEW bingo card this year. He's been spectacular.
Yeah. You know what? He's really grown on me, and I will admit that I was a little judgy at first, and this was because of his age. And I just judge a lot of people when they come back from wrestling, or they still wrestle at a certain age, because I worry about people's bodies.
You're an ageist. It's okay. It's fine.
And I know that they go through a lot, especially I feel like in wrestling, you age double time because you're just putting your body through so many things. But like you said, in that Owen Hart tournament, you just started to see, I guess, I was able to then make a connection with Jeff Jarrett as to before when he was just coming out, having matches, hitting people with the guitar. I was like, oh my God, here comes this guy again.
Yeah. Like, just playing the hits, right? Like, oh, here's Jeff Jarrett for another nostalgia tour, and let's yeah. move on. Now they're doing something of substance with him.
Yes. And now I'm like, okay, I see where he's making those connections. I see where the drama is now. I can see where things are going. It makes sense to me. Yeah, totally. Let's do it. There's other people on the roster who are of old age. And I'm like, maybe you should sit down, but not Jeff Jarrett. You know, you won me over, sir.
Hey, by the way, the guy who's going to win the AEW World Championship at some point is Christian Cage. And he's also up there, but he's still doing great.
No one is ever talking about the father of everyone. Christian, you can wrestle until you're 95, sir.
I don't know how old he is, but he's wrestling like he's in his prime, in his mid 30s right now. He's performing that way too. That's that is for sure. How do we see the Lumberjack Strap match going down? I mean, this has Hangman Page winning written all over it, but in a stipulation type match, might give Jeff Jarrett a an out and protect Hangman a little bit, but he just beat Swerve. So like you got to keep him hot, don't you?
There's no way that Hangman is losing this match. I honestly think that there might be, maybe that's why it's a Lumberjack match. There might be some shenanigans going on outside.
Shenanigans. And, the night.
Yep. That might be distraction, and that therefore maybe Karen comes out, she's like, stop this, and then Jeff gets distracted, and then Hangman gets the win.
so there was the only thing that I did not like about the Jeff Jarrett promo was basically when he told his wife to shut up. Like, that was the only thing. I thought that was a little too much, where he was basically like, shut up, Karen, I don't care what you have to say right now. I'm like, damn, harsh shit. That was a little harsh for me, but other than that, I thought the promo was great. But
okay, I was fine with it. I was like, oh okay. My God, sorry. Sure.
Okay. Let's all right. Go. That's fine. Maybe fine. It was just me. I'm just like, damn.
That was the moment for you. Okay.
Shut up, Karen. God.
That's when you gasped.
Yeah, I was like, ugh, all right. The Amish electrician says that match needs Brawny paper towels as a sponsor. Hey,
that's so funny.
Appreciate the super chat. Get those super chats in. Get your humper chats in. We got a few more matches to talk about here, and then of course we got to get to Nigel as well. We had Serena Deeb and Queen Aminata. This match was set up by the events of last week's episode of Collision. Every time I feel like Queen is right there about taking the next step, or I feel like AEW is ready to take the next step with her, they do something like this where Serena Deeb gets the win tonight, and then she ends up challenging Britt Baker afterwards. Good match. Did you expect Serena to come out on top in this one?
Not really. I was kind of on the boat for Queen Aminata. I'm like, maybe this is going to be her night. She had a fantastic match last week, and Serena Deeb had lost her match. So I was like, okay, we're hot on Queen Aminata right now. So yeah, I was going in that thinking that she was going to win, and that did not happen tonight, though I'm not upset about it. I'm just thinking about all the things that Queen Aminata could do, because I do think, like you said, she's on the up and up, and
sure, she is.
We're seeing now that Anna Jay is coming back from Stardom. She did her her tour in Japan, and now I'm like, oh my God, her a feud with Anna Jay and Queen Aminata, that would be great, because I feel like they are kind of like same field. So yeah, I just, some of this match, man, there was a moment where Serena Deeb had Queen Amanada in kind of like a surfboard, which all of the stretches look insane. Okay. I wrote down that she is like, Serena is the wrestler's chiropractor, because she just looks like she could stretch you out in so many ways. And like, for me, sometimes my body hurts. I feel like if I was just in a move with Serena, she would just fix me up.
I was going to say, is it sad that I kind of like see a spot like that and I get jealous? Because there is a spot in the small of my back.
Oh my God.
I need cracked so bad. Like, I'm watching chiropractor videos on Instagram right now and just trying to live vicariously through these people because I can't afford to go to one.
I'm telling you, she was like rocking Queen Amanada back and forth. And I was like, oh man, my back, that would be the best ever. Like, oh my God.
Do you think I could send like an email to like AEW PR for the next time I'm at an event and just be like, hey, while I'm there, can I sign just like a waiver and just have Serena put me in a surfboard so I can my back, please, for the love of God.
The best. I
want to interview Serena so she can fix me, please.
a dream. That's a dream of mine. And Queen Amanada during the match, she had this fantastic kick that's her like go-to kick. Serena was draped on the bottom rope, and Queen Amanada just comes and flies through her with her leg. Insane. It was so beautiful. I had to rewind that just so I could watch it again, because yes, they replayed it, but I'm like, this is not good enough. I need more. It was great. This was fantastic. I wish we would have gotten more of it. Maybe if we didn't have so many promos during the night, we could have gotten this. Even if we got rid of, and I know people are going to hate me because I'm always like, more women's matches. I'm for more women's matches if they progress the story. We could have not had Mariah and Lady Frost, and we could have given their time to Serena Deeb and Queen Amanada, and that would have been fantastic. And you still could have had the women do a promo or something.
Did you hear that, folks? Iridian hates women's matches.
That's
the heel turn is complete. And Amish Electrician, that is not what I said at all. That is not even close to what I said.
The beginning of the match. Towards the beginning of the show, I think you did say that.
No. I was talking about Dustin taking a barbed wire boot to Mike Bennett's balls.
People are bringing it up 55 minutes into the stream. Okay. So
I just hope Mike is still able to have a stream after taking that kick. Anywho. So we had more ladies on the show tonight as we got a backstage interaction with Saraya and Harley, introducing the rules for a Saraya's rules match that she is going to be having with Jamie Hayter on Wednesday on Grand Slam. And I'm not going to run down all of the rules, but if you missed it, basically here's what the rules are for the match. Saraya can do whatever the hell she wants, except a hammerlock. But that's okay, because she hates hammerlocks. Never really liked them anyway. But there's a bunch of stuff that Jamie is not going to be allowed to do in this match, and I don't know if she's going to be able to learn the rules because Harley ate them.
That's insane. And you know what? Following along to the rules was hard enough. So after the first one, I was like, oh, this is crazy. So the rest of them just kind of flew by, and I am scared. Like, who's going to know these rules? And, you know, like before matches start, they'll be like, the following match is scheduled for one fall. And then they'll tell you what's going on or what's allowed.
Put them on the Jumbotron. Just put them on the Jumbotron, put them on the screen, give us a graphic. Don't make the Dapper Yapper or anybody else like that have to read out this laundry list. I mean, that's going to be like Jericho standing in the ring, like doing the thousand holds thing where he's just saying armbar over and over again. That's the recap you're going to get. Now, here's the thing. They're going to do all of this.
Yeah.
And Jamie is still going to win on Wednesday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no way Saraya is winning. And someone mentioned that, like, it was the anniversary of Saraya getting signed. And I was like, I would have thought she would have done more by now. And it's kind of unfortunate. Because I
would not be, now this is not a, I want to preface this. This is not a report by any stretch of the imagination, but I think her contract is up here soon. I think Sean mentioned that her contract was coming up soon. I would not be surprised if this is her last match.
And she's going to lose.
She's going to put over Jamie. They're going to finish up the storyline that they started at, you know, what was that? All In, ahead of All In 2 years ago before Jamie got hurt. and they're going to wrap that up.
I mean,
I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised because I just look at what they've been doing with her. Like you said, they have not been doing much with her,
yeah.
Which is surprising because I remember when she got signed and when she showed up and right off the bat, it was her and Britt. I was like, at the time.
Yeah.
And I said, that's a top five signing in company history at that point. Is bringing in somebody like Saraya, getting her out of retirement. She's healthy. She's ready to rock and started off with a bang, her and Britt Baker. And then it's just been, I have been surprised at what they've done with her. Now, I don't know if that, again, there are reasons for everything. I don't know if it's medical, if she wants to be more of a part-time performer as a full-time performer. She did get to win the title in London. So that was a good moment for her, but I was shocked when she dropped it like a month later.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, okay. And it's just been waiting for Jamie to kind of come back at this point. I don't know what the future holds for her, but I would not be stunned just based off of how they're using her and then how deep the rest of the roster is if Wednesday's it for her.
Yeah.
In which case, I hope she goes back to WWE because I want to see her on my TV screen. I just don't know if it's going to be an AEW. Again, that's not a report. That is totally me speculating.
This is all speculation.
Total speculation.
Total speculation. Yeah, I mean, I just thought they were going to do more with her, and that hasn't happened. Yeah, she got that big moment at All In, and then that's it. Like, I can't tell you matches that she's been in besides that championship picture. Yeah, she formed a crew, but yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with her. And if she resigns, maybe they're finally going to do something with her. But after a year, after 2 years, like, that's crazy. So
like, I think the dynamic with her and Harley works. Like, yeah. I think if Saraya does leave, I would feel bad for Harley because this would be like another thing that they just started getting going with her. And then all of a sudden it's like, it's now you got to pivot and go in a different direction with her. But yeah. Either way, I want more Saraya. I just like I am with Britt. I've always been a Saraya fan. I know she's another polarizing figure, and you either love her or you hate her. I'm always going to be on team Saraya, and I want to see more of her on television, whether that's AEW or WWE. Personally, our main event tonight was a 10-man tag team match: the FTR, the Outrunners, Hook versus Grizzled Young Vets, Roosh, Roddy and Beast Mortos. Of course, obviously, we knew this one was going to break down. It was absolute chaos. People were fighting all over the damn place. I thought from the moment that this match started, Iridian, I thought that this was going to be kind of a paint-by-numbers match. Total chaos, breaks down, baby faces win in the end to send the crowd home happy, right?
Wrong.
No. No.
Yeah.
How dare I think such a thing? Because Roosh kicked the ever-living shit out of Dax, hit him with the horns in the corner, and pinned that man. Didn't even hook a leg, just the lateral press.
That's crazy.
And pinned that man with authority and confidence.
That's crazy.
I'm like, oh, like the way he covered him, I'm like, oh, Dax is kicking out. Dax did not kick out.
Yeah.
That was a surprising finish to me, and I love it. I love it. Roosh needed that.
I love Señor Roosh, okay? Señor Roosh, todo lo que haces es perfecto. He is just so great. I truly love him. When he gets in that ring and he does his little tranquilo pose, I am tranquila. So I feel it. I am calm. I get it. It's not that serious. I totally understand. And he's always been one of my faves on the roster. And same thing. I feel like he's kind of in the middle, sometimes lost in the sauce, lost in the shuffle. And they were doing something with him and Preston Vance, and then they weren't. And then I don't know what happened with that. But now that Beast Mortos is in the picture, I'm like, okay, I kind of see it. It's working. And he picked up the win tonight. So I absolutely loved it. But can we talk about the gear? FTR tried to coordinate with the Outrunners, and I'm like, oh my God, this is amazing. Because I feel like FTR truly does love the Outrunners. And I feel like they can continue to have matches. They had one like maybe like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and FTR was having the time of their lives in the ring with the Outrunners. And you saw it again tonight. The Outrunners even did the Shatter Machine. And I'm like, oh, that's crazy. I wasn't thinking about that, but that was so cool to see. And I think Nigel even mentioned it in the commentary that like, oh, they must have gotten permission from FTR. FTR must have given their blessing to them. I love this friendship all the way. I love it. Did you love it?
I love that they lost. You know what I genuinely loved about this?
What?
Cash Wheeler looks like he's having fun again.
Yeah.
After all the crap that he had gone down with the legal issues, now that that's finally been resolved, now that he's kind of talked about it openly, gotten everything out of his chest, cleared the air with everything. And, you know, I love the fact that he's able to just kind of go out there and be himself. And like, he was still performing well, but you can just tell that a 10,000 pound weight has been lifted off his shoulders and he's just working more freely now. It's nice to see him going out there and genuinely having fun and not having to worry about other bullshit. So I really love that in the minute. And I love that Roosh got the win. So yes, I love this.
I think he deserved it. And it was interesting to see Hook also in a match like this, because I think he's really versatile. Like, he can do tag matches, he can do 10 person tag matches, he can do singles matches. So I like where his progression is going. But man, I was counting. I'm like, okay, I see five on one side, but then I was like, who is the person on the other? I was like, I see Beast Mortos, I see Roosh, and I was like, oh, it's Roddy. Like, no hate towards Roddy, but I'm so sick of you.
Like, Roddy and Hook, there were times I forgot they were even in the match tonight. There were just so many dudes out there. I'm just like, there's a lot of dudes. There's a lot of beef. There's a lot of mustaches. And, you know, those two guys just kind of got lost in the sauce for me tonight. You talk about loving Hook's progression. I'm like, I'd love to see any kind of progression with Hook. I feel like he's been doing the same thing for 3 years now. Oh. And that's not on him. That's not on him. Seriously, I know the FTW championship is important to him and his family, and I respect that. My God, can we move that boy up the card, please?
That's a wild take. I would say the same thing that you said about Roderick Strong, and that's only because I don't think that the Kingdom is as great as it is without Adam Cole.
Yeah.
Those
boys were set up for major league success, and then one foot injury ruined the whole damn thing. So hopefully Adam Cole gets back soon, very, very soon for everybody involved. That, and I just want to see Adam Cole back on TV. Got a super chat here from Alan. It's my 43rd birthday today. Happy birthday. Love the show. Thank you very much. Wanted to know what got you to doing wrestling podcasts/interviews, thinking of doing it myself. Okay. Iridian, you want to take this one first? What got you into the biz?
It started for me with radio. I've always loved radio. So I got a job. I went to school for radio, and then I got a job in the business. That's what I've been doing. And in one of my college courses, I had to take podcasting, and they taught me how to do it. And I was like, this is for me. This is absolutely for me. I had a class where I had to pick a topic and just podcast about that. And I'm like, what do I know about the most? Professional wrestling. So I started talking about wrestling. And then in my job, people found out that I was a wrestling fan, and I've been fortunate to do, to be able to get those opportunities to interview people from AEW, from WWE. It's been wonderful, but it's just such a great outlet. I love talking about wrestling. I love all the participation that we get here. Love talking about it with Rick. And honestly, start it. Like, if it's something that you love, do it. You can literally start on your phone, and it's accessible to everyone. And it's just been amazing for me. I love it. I think I'm going to do it for the rest of my life as long as I can. But it's something that I love. And yeah, if you love it, you should absolutely do it. I'm all for, if you want to create, because there's literally room for everybody. But Rick, what's it like for you?
So not to get too deep or anything like that. This is a story I've actually told before. I don't know if I've told it on this platform before, but I kind of got into this as more of an escape. Right. Because I'm also in radio, 15 year radio vet at this point, and my day job is as a news anchor. And that means I have to cover everything from shootings to other crimes to local government to national politics, which if anybody has paid attention to that since roughly 2016, it's been of a shit show. And it's a lot, and it weighs on you mentally. Having to know every crappy thing that happens in your town, it does weigh on you mentally. And then, oh yeah, the pandemic hit, right? So I was in a spot where I was worn down. I was feeling I was going through some mental health problems. I was going through some confidence issues, and I was kind of feeling in a corner, and I didn't think that my radio career was really going to be going anywhere. This was about, I don't know. Oh yeah, I know what it was. It was about the end of 2018, heading into 2019. There was something that kind of lit a spark in me to give my career one more shot to get on track. And it was an interview that I heard Becky Lynch do, where she talked about where the first time that she was a SmackDown Women's Champion, that she had, she struggled with confidence, that she felt sorry that she was in the position that she was in. And it's something that really struck a chord with me, because I felt the same way for every single radio opportunity that I got in my first few years. I had no confidence. I felt like I didn't belong where I was. I felt genuinely like apologetic for the work that I was putting out, and it kind of struck a chord with me because I did not see that with her at all. And I'm like, she's fucking awesome, right? Like, why have confidence in yourself, please? And I guess that was kind of a light bulb situation that kind of went off in my head of, you know, okay, well, maybe I'm in the same situation. So me and my buddy were talking one day in the hall. We both love professional wrestling. We ended up having a 45-minute conversation after work one day, and we're just like, damn, man, we should do a show about this. And so I sent an email to one of my bosses saying, hey, me and my buddy Taryn, you know, we'd like to do a wrestling show on the sports station. And much to my surprise, they said yes. And we went out and we sold it. And the first show that we did was Royal Rumble 2019. And serendipitous, Becky Lynch wins the Royal Rumble that night. He's a big New Day fan. Kofi Kingston went on to win WrestleMania later on that year, and Becky won a Mania that year, and we ended up doing the show for about a year and a half, and then it got canceled when the pandemic showed up. But over the course of that show, I met people like Sean Rossap. I met people like Jimmy Wang Yang, and they taught me things, and they got me into some other places, and I ended up writing for websites. I ended up doing podcasts for websites, and fast forward now, 6 years, I've covered the last five WrestleManias. I have just started up doing interviews for professional wrestling on Sports Illustrated, a publication that I read since I was very little, a spot that I've coveted, and I've somehow found my way there by a happy accident, just looking for an escape. And I found a second career path, which has honestly allowed me to stay in radio and help, you know, raise my kids and put food on the table and everything like that. So this is incredibly fun. It never really feels like work for me, even though it can bog me down and keep me busy at times. But I genuinely love getting to come on here and talk wrestling with Iridian and Krista when she's here, or anybody else. So yeah, that's a long answer. But that's about as condensed down as I honestly couldn't get with it. So when you ask me how I got here, a happy fucking accident. That is how I've, and a lot of hard work, but a happy fucking accident. So that's, yeah, that's where we're at. That's how I'm here. That's why I'm here right now. That's how I got started. I was looking for an escape and I found a career path. But yeah, do it. Another super chat here from Love for Boost. Just want to show some love to my fellow colliders. Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate that. Yeah. So, all right. We got one final segment to talk about here. Still time to get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in.
Yeah.
Main event segment tonight. We got Nigel McGuinness on the microphone. He's up on the stage and he starts calling out that yellow belly coward Bryan Danielson for ducking him, for faking injury. And before he could really get going, we get Tony Schiavone who interrupts him. Tony Schiavone says that Nigel's basically full of crap. He's had to listen to the vitriol that Nigel has spewed about Bryan Danielson for the last year on commentary on Collision and hear everything that he's had to say since he issued the challenge to Danielson over the last 2 weeks. He basically channeled Jeremy Lambert and said, look, don't you know who Bryan Danielson is? He's the fucking GOAT. All right, sit your ass down. He's the GOAT. He's not afraid of you. And Nigel was just like, Tony, if this was anybody else, I would whoop your ass. Go sit down. Yeah. And then Nigel gets in the ring and just passionately screaming into the camera, demanding that Bryan, whether it's for the fans, whether it's for himself, whether it's for Nigel, just give him his vindication. Either step in the ring and let Nigel prove that what he has said for years is true, that he is just as good as Bryan Danielson ever was. Or don't show up and give him the vindication because it's going to prove to him that Bryan Danielson knows what he's saying is true, but is afraid to get in the ring with him. I did feel this went a little long. I felt like less would have been more here. I don't know if the Tony Schiavone thing was needed in this segment, but I think this was expertly delivered by Nigel here tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it should have closed the show. It just seemed like if Danielson wasn't going to come out, this seemed like a little bit of an awkward thing to close the show with. I don't know if awkward's the right word, but it didn't feel like something that was a main event segment, if that makes any kind of sense.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I also agree. I honestly think we didn't need the segment, especially if Bryan Danielson wasn't going to come out. The reason that I thought he was because they kept hinting to, like, we're going to hear from Nigel coming up next after the main event. And I'm like, wait a minute, this doesn't happen. What are we doing here? What, like, is Danielson here? And when Nigel was talking just constantly about Bryan and about, if you're not going to do it for your family, do it for the fans or something. And I was like, oh, he's going to come out. He's going to come out. And when Tony got up to go stand next to Nigel, I was like, okay, maybe Tony Khan is in Tony's ear. You know, here comes Bryan Danielson, or they cut really close to them at one point. I'm like, okay, Bryan Danielson is going to come in and attack Nigel, something like that. And nothing happened. It was a big nothing burger. So I was a little disappointed off of no expectations that they had set or whatever, because they in no way, shape, or form tonight alluded to Bryan Danielson popping up. That was just me speculating, and I disappointed myself. So joke's on me. But I'm sure a lot of people did that, though.
You had me convinced. Like the way you were talking about on social media, I'm like, damn, am I behind? Like, did Bryan already come out? Like you were tweeting about it so matter of factly. Like I was sold. You messed this up for me, Iridian.
Literally, and I'm so sorry. Literally in the main event, that's all I could think about, because on the bottom they had put, like, we're coming up next is Nigel. And I'm like, interesting. So Bryan's coming back tonight. And it didn't happen. So I have to go back and be like, haha, joke's on me. But I was a little disappointed. But I do think it should have opened up the show, should have been shorter, still would have had the same event, because there were some little bits and pieces of what Nigel was saying that I'm like, oh, this pulls at my heartstrings, Nigel. Like, I know we talk about him every week and saying that he's a menace on commentary, which he is. But the fact that, you know, he literally tells anybody that he can that he's a better wrestler than Bryan Danielson. And I feel like nobody believes him, but he was also a good wrestler. And it was just unfortunate, the story that happened with him, because at his magic show, he like spilled all the beans about Bryan Danielson. And I'm like, is this true? Was I the only person who didn't know about this like WWE beef? And I had no idea. And like everybody at the comedy show knew. So I was like, okay, it was just me, craziness. But it's just so sad. It's very unfortunate, because Nigel, I feel like, just is always going to look at Bryan Danielson's career and be like, that could have been me. And that's what this has been building up to. And I know Kate got a lot of heat because she was saying that, I think she tweeted that, you know, this has been a 2-year story in the making or whatever, or ever since Collision started, or it's been a year in the making that Nigel has been setting this up for us. And this is long-term storytelling, because we've been talking about this too, that this has to be endgame. Like, Nigel and Bryan have to fight each other. There's no way that on commentary for a year, Nigel was going to be a menace and not face any consequences for it, especially if he was getting back in the ring and training. Yeah, sorry. I feel like I kind of rambled a little bit, but
I do it all the time.
But Nigel, this pulled at my heartstrings, you know? Love Nigel. This made me love him a little bit more.
Like, Adam knows. Like, Nigel was kind of sympathetic in that segment tonight. Like, whether it's us or whether it's somebody else, we all feel like, you know, at some point our lives could have gone in a different direction, or we see somebody who's in a position where we want to be, and it's mm-hmm. only natural, right? We're humans to have that kind of emotion and belief in ourselves sometimes, to be like, oh damn, I that could have been me, right? Like, if it wasn't for such and such circumstance, you know, that could have been me, or we have something that's always working, you know, against us. I think I'm trying to remember who Nigel did the interview with. Nigel spoke with somebody this week talking about, you know, that he retired basically because he was in a situation where he could no longer make a living being a professional wrestler anymore. And, you know, the circumstances of life dictated that he needed to take another career path. And just like I just talked about a minute ago, right? Like, if I did not find this, if I did not find this secondary source of income, I would have had to take another career path in life. And I wouldn't still be doing radio right now. So, you know, I got lucky in that sense. So, yeah, it's just one of those. It's one of those things where Nigel is technically the bad guy, but yeah, he's the good guy in his own story, as we all are. So you can see his motivations.
Yeah. And that's, oh my God, it's going to be such a good match. Do I think Nigel's going to win? No, but I think this is going to remind people that yes, Nigel is also a fantastic wrestler, and he is going to get his validation even if he doesn't win the match. And we're also going to give him that validation, because I feel like, you know, Bryan Danielson, these matches that he's been having at this final run that he's doing have been incredible. And we know the history that Nigel and Bryan have. So I just think the match is going to be beautiful, honestly, and I'm ready for it.
It's a little sooner than I was expecting, but at the same time, Brian's on borrowed time right now with the neck surgery. Who knows how long he's actually going to be wrestling? It feels like, I still feel like his championship run, and again, this is me speculating, I'm not reporting anything, like, this is just, I feel he's going to be leaning more on the transitional side of things. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if Wrestle Dream, which is like October 18th, mm-hmm. somewhere in that ballpark, I think, would not be surprised if that's it for him. If he loses it to Moxley, or he loses it to Christian Cage, or he loses it to Darby, or whoever the hell he ends up wrestling on that night. Like, I feel like the amount of matches that he has, you could count them on one hand. That's what I feel like. Now, I could be completely wrong, and he could go all the way to freaking Revolution or All In next year.
Yeah.
But he keeps talking about this neck surgery that he needs, but, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, I hope it happens. Still not a guarantee that it happens, right? Because Brian's got to get cleared. But I think advertising it, like, it's, I hope it delivers. Like, I really do. Just like this is my worry with matches like this, right? Is it's like, it's something that so many of us have wanted for a long time. And we're like, man, that would be so awesome if they did it. And we're going to be so hyped to see these guys standing in the ring from one another.
Yeah.
Much like with Ospreay and Ricochet, right? Like, I'm just sitting here, I'm like, God. And just this morning, I went back and I watched their Super Juniors from 2016 and 2017. And I'm just like, God damn, I am hyped for this match coming up on the second, right? On the 5-year anniversary, these two. I'm like, bitch if you want, right? bitch if you want that it's on free TV and there's no story. Bullshit, there's a story that's been built in for 7 damn years between these two. And I praise AEW for tapping into that storyline that is just there. It's just there. It's gifted for them. They don't have any work to do. It's already been done for them. And by the way, guys, can I just say one thing real quick about Ricochet and Ospreay? See, now I'm rambling. All right? If you're pissed off that they're pissing this match away, they're not going anywhere. They work in the same damn company. If you think they're just going to have one match and that's going to be it, I got news for you. These guys are going to wrestle 10 times, and it's going to be awesome each time.
You know,
who cares when the first one is? I'm glad we're getting it on free TV and I don't have to pay for it.
Hopping off of that, I was also kind of upset that I'm like, oh man, Ricochet just got here. You have my man sitting getting catering and he didn't even cut a good promo against Will Ospreay when Ospreay called him out. Like, let him get his footing a bit. He just got here. But at the same time, I'm like, they're going to have a best of seven. It's not going to be a one-off. They're going to fight for the rest of their careers wherever they are.
Like, they could pick up. They're in the same company. They're in the same major company for the first time.
Yeah.
Like, in a long time. Like, they, this is just the start of what is going to be, honestly, one of the best rivalries that Ospreay has had. They can pick up where they left off now, and it starts. This isn't the end.
Yeah.
This is the beginning on the second. One more super chat here from Andrades Gaming. Going to see Deadpool tomorrow. Hell yes. Honestly, hell yes. I've seen it twice myself. I want to see it again. I also want to see Beetlejuice 2 again.
You saw it twice?
I did see it twice.
I want to go see it again, but I also just maybe just kind of wait for the Blu-ray to come out so I could just buy it and have it and watch it religiously because it is so good. I was genuinely impressed. I think this has been the best Deadpool yet. And addressing the super chats, guys, sometimes you'll send a super chat and we won't get to it right away, but we'll fit it in with whatever match you guys are talking about. We'll put it in order. Whoever's moderating, which is Luis tonight, shout outs to you. They always make sure that we get every single thing read. So please be patient with us. We beg, but we will always put your comments or we'll say your comments on air. And thank you for continuing to send super chats and humper chats. We love you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen three movies this year already because my schedule is hectic and I have kids. I've seen three in theaters. I've seen three.
Okay.
Deadpool.
Yeah.
Deadpool.
Goodbye.
And Beetlejuice. Good. And the only reason I saw, and you know where I saw Beetlejuice?
Where?
In Chicago. I had them.
Where did you go?
I stayed at the Hilton Garden Inn in.
Was it a Hoffman?
Hoffman Estates. Okay. And literally right across the street, there was this AMC. And I'm like, I got into town at like 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And there was a 4 o'clock showing. So I dropped my shit off in the hotel. I turn around.
And there
I went right over to the movie theater. I got my big ass Beetlejuice cup. I spent like $20 on this Beetlejuice cup, filled it up, sat down. It was literally the sequel I had waited my entire life for. That movie came out like 2 months before I was born. Wow. It was a cult classic. I loved it when I was a kid. Yeah. The qualifications bit, me and my brother, we repeated that religiously as kids. I was dying for this movie, pun intended. I wish I liked it more, but I'm still happy that it got made. I want to see it again. But we're good. I believe we got all of them.
Yep. I think we got that Nigel one that we read. Yeah.
Yes. All right.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Iridian, what you got going on? Where can people find your stuff? What's going on?
You guys, please follow me on Instagram. It's Iridian_Fiero. And I also have a TikTok. Also follow me on there. But please, please, please subscribe to my YouTube channel. It's Rest Friends, WREST Friends, like wrestling and friends put together, one word. And I have some really, really cool interviews on there. I got the chance to interview Orange Cassidy before All Out. He was fantastic. Great guy, showed up with dark denim, which 10 out of 10 for him. I have some really cool vlogs. You can witness me in real time reacting to Yuta reaching out to Bryan Danielson and me yelling out like, oh my God.
Was the Titanic theme playing in your mind when that was going on?
Yes, actually. My whole world was, my whole world was collapsing as that happened. And the day before I had worn my Blackpool Combat Club merch. So it just made everything sting more. Follow me on all social media, guys. I always love talking about wrestling. Definitely hit me up. And I'm always here Saturday. Well, mostly here Saturdays.
This is like your first one in 6 weeks.
I was here last week.
Oh, yeah. I was gone. That's right. Yeah. I was
Lord, gone. Lord, this is a rotation, guys. One of us will always be here for Collision.
I think I'm gone next week, actually.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, it all depends on what time the UC football game gets scheduled. All right, if the UC football game gets scheduled at night, I'll be here. If it gets scheduled in the afternoon, I got to go to the radio station. So
figure it out.
TBD.
Where can they find you, Rick?
As soon as I'm done choking on myself, you can follow me on Twitter or Instagram at Rick Uccino right there. That is a one-stop shop for all of my work, whether it's here at Fightful or whether it is over at Sports Illustrated. Now, there are reasons to follow me because within the next week, three of these are guaranteed to happen. One of them I'm hoping will get rescheduled, but I should be talking to Will Ospreay. I already spoke to Shawn Michaels. Ethan Page and Drew McIntyre are also coming down the pike. So that's those four big interviews coming up for Sports Illustrated, myself. So follow me on X. That is going to be the place wherever. I always struggle with the whole
with the pointing.
With the pointing thing. That thing. How you spell my name, Rick Uccino. That's where you find me. And I might be here next week. I might not. I don't know. We like to keep you guessing.
Yes. We like
we to- do we run the free bird rule here, right? We're a trio, but you never know whether all three of us are going to be here, whether one of us is going to be here.
You never know who's holding those titles.
Yes, so. You never know. But tonight, me and Iridian had it locked down. Thank you guys so much for the comments, for the thumbs up. Make sure to, if you like the show tonight, make sure to hammer the thumbs up. Give us some kind of emotional response there. That helps drive up the audience and post. Thank you guys so much. Subscribe to the Fightful YouTube channel if you haven't already. Subscribe to Fightful Select, best $5 in the business. I'm sure Sean will have some more stuff coming up this week. A lot of big contract news this week. A lot of big contract news. People are jumping back and forth. What's going to happen with Kevin Owens? That's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, the Lucha Brothers news, like Sean is on top of that. So
always on top.
Want to know everything? $5, guys.
Yeah, you get it right to your email. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. Always fun.
Bye, guys.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.